has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing, who is what I am saved.
You may be seated.
All right, let's turn to Genesis chapter 17. I'm going to read the whole chapter. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abraham fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now, an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." And God said to Abraham, "As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner. Those who are not your offspring, whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come after her." Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, "If only Ishmael might live under your blessing." And God said, "Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year." And when he'd finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born in his household or bought with his money, every male in his household, and circumcised them, as God told him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13. Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on the same day, and every male in Abraham's household, including those born in his household or bought from a foreigner, was circumcised with him. May God give us understanding of his holy word this morning. Amen. Chapter 16, last week, we learned, instead of Abraham and Sarah waiting for God to provide an heir, a son, they jumped the gun, and Sarah, or Sarai, allowed Abram to sleep with her maid, Hagar, who became pregnant and later gave birth to Ishmael. Now, 13 years later, God appears to Abram. He's 99 years old and tells him what will happen in the future and what he should do now. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for each one that's come out this morning, for those that are listening by internet, radio. We appreciate everyone. We pray you'll help us not to be distracted, but to be totally tuned in to these words that they're about to hear. May it be a blessing to each one of us, and may we learn something and also put things into practice that you want us to learn. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe there's a few people out there in the parking lot as well. God bless you. Now, Genesis 17, verse 1, we read, for the first time that God himself calls himself the Lord God Almighty, or El Shaddai. You probably heard that song. What's her name? Who? Amy Grant. She sang that one, El Shaddai, which means God Almighty. And when Abraham heard this and he appeared to him, he fell down at the Lord's feet and worshipped the Lord God. Now, it was important for Abraham to hear this from the Lord, the first time it's ever been mentioned in Scripture, that he was the Lord, he is the Lord Almighty, El Shaddai. That was important for him to hear, because the Lord Almighty was about to perform a miracle in his life and the life of his wife, Sarai. He alone is capable of performing these miracles, nobody else. He's the God of the impossible. Amen. There's nothing God that cannot do. You've got to remember that. God is the God of impossible, and God promised to do the impossible, because with God nothing is impossible. He wanted Abraham to believe that by faith. He wants us to believe in Jesus by faith. We can't see Jesus, can we? We've never seen Jesus, have we? But we believe in Jesus, don't we? We believe by faith. We don't see him with our natural eye, but we believe by faith of who he is, what he's done, and we'll be seeing him face to face one of these days, okay? Imagine that. We're going to be standing there. He's going to be waiting for us, and we're going to meet him. We're going to see him exactly the way he looks. What a day that would be. So, this was the fourth time that God appeared to Abram. about, and he told him about this unconditional covenant, this agreement that he told him about before, that a nation would result through his seed, which is Israel, many, many years later. And from his seed, there would come kings and millions upon millions of people, and all the nations of the world would be blessed because through his seed, the Lord Jesus Christ would be born. That would be through Mary. Because obviously Jesus didn't have an earthly father. She conceived through the power of the Holy Spirit. If Jesus had a normal, regular father, human being, Jesus would have had that sin trait running through his blood, through his veins, just like the rest of us. Amen? So, this is the fourth time. But Abraham, put yourself in his shoes. He must have wondered when God was going to fulfill this promise. Up until this time, guess how long he'd been waiting for the first time God told him about that promise? Can you guess? 30 years. He'd been waiting 30 years. Now, this is important because some of you, and probably some of me, we think just because we pray, God's going to answer our prayers immediately. Sometimes he does. Sometimes you're going to have to wait 30 years, but he will answer. All right? So this was a real test of faith, wasn't it? He'd been waiting 30 years. He must have been wondering, when is these promises going to take place? When is God going to fulfill that promise that he promised to me? I'm 99 years old. So it was a real test of faith. And remember, God's going to test our faith. You ever felt like God is testing your faith? Going to test our faith to find out if we really are in the faith. Amen? Amen. Now, Genesis 17:5, we read how God gave Abram, and I don't have to say Abram anymore after this message, he became Abraham, which means father of many. Remember, God was going to fulfill that promise. It would remind Abram of the promise that God had made to him, the promises that God had made to him. Now we're going to talk about circumcision. From verse 9 through 14, we learn how God gave instructions to Abraham to have a visible sign that confirmed the covenant agreement that he made with him. And that sign was circumcision. The act of circumcision, which is the removal of the skin from a male or any male, would not only have a physical effect on the body, which it does, but it also has some spiritual significance for the nation of Israel later on. How they were to be separate or cut off. That's what circumcision is, amen? It's a cutting off of the flesh physically, but there's also spiritual significance. That nation of Israel were to be set apart. They were to be cut off and different from all the other pagan nations around them that worship many, many false gods. Only Israel believed in the one true God. Only Israel, the nation of Israel. Okay? You could say they were a cut above the rest. I don't hear the horns out there. I have a joke, but I don't think I'm allowed to say it. I think it's really funny. You can ask me later on. This is going out to thousands of people. Anyway, they were going to be separate. That's the whole point. The true and living God. And that through that nation, Israel, God would reveal himself as Jehovah, meaning the great I am. God has always existed. You got to get this, kids. God has always existed. Everything else has been created. God has always existed. He's not. From time immemorial, there's never been a time when God hasn't existed. Everything else has been created except God. So they were to be set aside, Israel, to be separate from all the other nations. Circumcision was the sign. All Jews, even up until this day, Jewish children over 8 days old are to be circumcised. Why? To remember God's covenant with Abraham. Likewise, believers in Jesus Christ, we have been chosen to be separate from this world's standards and philosophies, and we are to live for the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 15, 16. For what does righteousness and wickedness have in common? What fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and the devil? There is none, right? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? Really? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. We are the temple. The Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, lives with us. We are his temple. So God not only gave a sign of circumcision to wear like a badge to help Israel remember his covenant with them, it was also to remind them to be completely devoted to God, to be completely devoted to God Almighty. Now, we Christians are to be truly devoted to God. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself daily, take up his cross, and follow me. So we have to deny ourselves. We have to deny that old sin nature and follow Jesus, to take up that cross and follow Jesus. Now, denying ourselves doesn't come naturally, does it? Because naturally, we don't want to deny ourselves. Naturally, we just want to do our own thing when we want to do it. But from the moment of the new birth in Christ, self-denial should become a daily exercise, and for the rest of our lives on earth, denying ourselves. Got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, because we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you've got that old sin nature pulling us in one direction, and then you've got the Holy Spirit in us who wants to deny ourselves and follow Jesus. So there's a conflict, there's a spiritual warfare going on between the divine spirit of God and that old sin nature, that old carnal self. And this ongoing struggle you can read about, and Paul had the same problem because he was human, he wasn't perfect, the apostle. You can read about Romans chapter 7, he talks about the two natures, okay? Because of time, I'm not going to read it. But read Romans chapter 7. And then read Romans chapter 8. Only by God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can learn to deny self. Listen to this. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope. What's that? The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's in Titus 2, 11 through 13. So let's get back to the message. Verse 15, Sarai gets a new name. Sarah. How old is she now? 89. What does the Lord give her a new name for? What's the meaning of the new name? Sarah. Princess. She's 89 years old. And God says, hey, princess, that's your new name. So her name, Sarah, was to remind her how God would bring about a nation through her giving birth to the chosen one, Isaac. Kings would come through his seed. And that includes the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ as well. So now we're going to read something really amusing. 16 through 23, we learn that Abraham, his wife is 89 years old, Sarah. She would give birth to a son. And then when he heard this from the Lord, he fell down and it said that he laughed on the inside. Imagine if you were Abraham and the Lord told you that your wife, 89 years old, is going to become pregnant and then give birth to a son a year later. No wonder he laughed. He didn't laugh out loud. He laughed on the inside. And then he asked the question. I mean, wouldn't you laugh? He asked the question, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? He just couldn't take it in. It blew his mind. Will Sarah bear a child when she's 90 years old? And then Abraham said to God, oh, if only Ishmael might live under your blessings. Now this statement proves that Abraham had hoped, because remember, Ishmael was the firstborn son, remember that? And he hoped that Ishmael was the chosen one, the chosen heir. Right? Because he was the firstborn son. Remember that. So the Lord had to tell Abraham, look, it's not going to be Ishmael. Yes, he will be blessed. A nation would come from his seed. That's referring to the Arabs. But he wasn't the chosen one. The chosen one who's yet to be born would be Isaac. Which means, Isaac means he laughs. So when Abraham heard that Sarah was going to bear a child a year later at 90 years old, he laughed, remember? So when the Lord named Isaac, Isaac, that would always remind Abraham of when he laughed, that God told him that he would do what he said he would do, because he said he would do it. I think that's pretty good. You want to hear that again? That God told him that he would do what he said he would do, because he said he would do it. And Abraham believed it by faith. And James, the book of James, or the letter from James to the church, tells us that faith without works is dead. You say you've got faith, then show me your works. Prove it by what you do. And to prove that Abraham really believed God's promises, he did what God told him to do, which was what? Get circumcised. Not only you, everyone, or every male over 8 days old needs to be circumcised. All the people in the company, because he was a rich man, and he had a lot of slaves, they've got to be circumcised. They were bought with a price. Remember, we've been bought with a price. The precious blood of Jesus. Amen. We're bought with a price. So all of them had to be circumcised. Now, if you were one of those people that lived in Abraham's group, and he says, guys, you're all going to get circumcised. Say if I have this vision, right? And I said, the Lord told me that all of you men are going to have to be circumcised today. That's what he told all these men. And, you know, if I was one of those guys, I'd say, hello, I'm out of here. I don't care if I am a slave. I don't care if I like Abraham or not. I'm gone. I'm going to go live in Sodom or Gomorrah. I want to get out of here. He ain't going to touch me. He ain't going to circumcise me. And even himself, Abraham was 89 years old and he was circumcised. Ouch. Ouch. 89. So let's conclude. Even though Abraham laughed to himself, and who wouldn't? It was funny at the prospect of Sarah giving birth at the age of 90 years old. Imagine Sarah and Lumen. Sorry, Sarah, I'm going to use her as an example. How old is she now? 92? What? 91. I was close. That's not bad, just 1 year off. And she's sitting here. I know she's out there in the car. And Rick says, I've got to make an announcement. Well, Sarah's got to make an announcement. And she gets up, she says, a year from now, I'm going to give birth to a son. You think that's funny? I know I am. It's not going to happen, by the way, I don't think. So it's incredible. It's a miracle. But oh, God is the God of the impossible. You've got to remember that when you're going through the ringer. God is the God of impossible, of the impossible. Imagine him, he believed these promises. This took a tremendous amount of faith, incredible amount of faith. Don't you believe it? Amen. What a man. What a man of faith. Now listen to this, and I'm going to close with these verses. Romans chapter 4, verse 18. It talks about Abraham. Confirms of what God did and the faith of Abraham. Listen, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. See, Paul is looking back. Israel's already been established. Just as has been said to him, so your offspring will be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Dead. Her womb was dead. Her biological clock had long since stopped ticking. That's not in the Romans, by the way. Yet he did not waver, Abraham, through unbelief regarding the promises of God. but was strengthened in his faith, and he gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. And this is why it was credited to him as righteousness, because he believed the promises of God. He was declared righteous by God. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, this includes us, but also for us to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins, but then he was raised to life for our justification. Amen. May we, by the grace of God, and it's only by the grace of God, exercise our faith in Jesus Christ daily. Deny ourselves, take up our cross to maintain peace with God and to bring glory to his name through our life. Amen? Amen. Let's close. Father, again, we thank you for your word, how true it is. Help us to read it every day so our faith would increase, believing your promises, because it is impossible for you to lie. You're not like a man who lies. And we know who the father of lies is, the devil, the deceiver, who wants to pull us away from the things of the Lord. May we daily, by your grace, deny self, take up our cross, and follow you. There may be somebody listening to this message, you've never received Jesus as your personal Savior. You need to do it by faith, believing what Jesus did for you on that cross. Do you believe it? He loves you. He shed his blood. He was nailed to a cross. And he died on that cross. And he was buried. And he rose again from the dead. Now, if you believe that in your heart, and then you confess that with your mouth, you shall be saved. So, those who call upon the name of the Lord, which is Jesus Christ, shall be saved. And I hope and pray that you do. I want to thank everyone who's taken the time to contribute towards this picnic in any way, shape, or form. Appreciate that. And again, Lord, be with us as we partake and enjoy the food that you have so graciously provided. Amen. Amen.
Let us take our hymnals and sheet music and turn to hymn number 555, and let us stand and sing "When We All Get to Heaven."